Well, good day, everyone. Glad to be of service here and to have a time that we can enjoy together. I trust it is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Do you know what the Lord says? The last time we talked about that and ended with the fellowship. Fellowship. It's wonderful to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Knowing that He is there, knowing that He's with you, knowing that He listens to you, knowing that He sees you, knowing that He keeps you, that He guides you, that He directs you, that He loves you. And what a comfort that the Lord Jesus gives us day by day with these passing moments. Things I find to meet my trials here. You know, we come across some trials. And there's also a song that says, trusting Jesus, that is all. So that's the theme of, at least of the evening, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trust also that it is the theme of your life. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Now we say that very easily, but the idea is to live it, to believe it, to enjoy it, to enjoy the life with the Lord Jesus. Not just saying, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm satisfied, I'm going to heaven. That's all may be true, but the thing is, are you enjoying Him? Not just are you enjoying being saved and satisfied and all that, but are you enjoying Him? Just last I say, we're talking about fellowship, you know, and to have that fellowship, there's a life to live, and the life that we live is not always maybe the way we thought it would be. And God has a plan for your life. It's not like people have a plan for their life. They say we have plan A, and if that doesn't work out, we have plan B, and I don't know what kind of plan they have after that. They must come to Z pretty soon, because God has a plan for your life. And to just know that and to trust that, that's every day new. That is not something that you say, I've got it, would be nice. But it's more important that He's got you. Wherever you are, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, friends, all over the world maybe, not sure where you're all listening, maybe it's only a few places, but wherever you are, one thing is for sure, the Lord has a plan for your life. And it's a perfect plan, not just a plan. No, we make plans, and our plans, they can come and they can go. Are my plans over my life? They have gone, they've come and gone very quickly. And now they have come to an end as far as my plans is concerned. But God is not finished. God has an eternal life for you and me. And He wants us to live that life. No? And we can trust Him. We can trust Him. Just to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read back here in 1 John. We're going to read those verses over that we read the last time. And then we'll see whatever else we can come across. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full of joy. Full of joy. Is your life full of joy? Oh no, there's a few problems here and there. Yeah, they arise along the way. Do you ever have problems? Yeah. And what do you do with the problems? Well, you know, it's difficult sometimes. Well, ever thought about passing them on to the Lord and see what He did with them? You know, I want to tell a few things that happened in our lives and see how the Lord went along with them and what he did. I think of when I was a boy. I must have been in sixth grade or something like that. And we were on a school trip, going somewhere. And we were somewhere in the park, and they had all kinds of things that you can enjoy yourself in. And four of us, we were sitting in this thing that went teeter-totter. No. Something like that. Swing. Went back and forth. And there's come some big fellas along with their girlfriends. And they thought that we should get out and they should get in. Well, I wasn't of that opinion. And though I was a little fellow, and the other ones, they got out. But they did something that was good. They did and told my father. And my father came. And I'll tell you, that became a whole different story. Because my father took care of the whole mess. You know, that's what a father sometimes can do. But now you think of a heavenly father, how he takes care of that. How he will take care of you day by day, and with each passing moment, he's there to take care of you. And I believe that many a time, he has taken care of you and you didn't even notice. However young you are, you've experienced some things whereby you say, I didn't even realize that the Lord was watching. I didn't realize that he was going to take care of this whole situation. Oh, man, we've had different times when we sat there and wondered what we were going to do, where our next piece of bread was going to come from, and so on, and all those. But, you know, the Lord always took care. Yeah. There are a lot of problems we meet up with. But as long as we see that they're not our problems. See, sometimes we have the knack of saying, I have a problem. Oh, may I tell you something? You have no right to a problem. If the Lord Jesus is taking care of you, and if God is your Father, then you have no right to problems. Because they're all his. And he knows what to do with them. And oh, yeah, but sometimes you get a little fearful, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, that can well happen, you know. I think I've been fearful many times and wonder what I was going to do next. But, you know, I can tell you about all the times that I was fearful and all the times that I was worried. Awful word. I was worried, you know. I shouldn't have, because there was no need of it, because the Lord had it all in his hand. He took care of it all. Oh, maybe I cried tears. Did you ever try to cry tears? Yeah? Oh, big fellas don't agree to that. They wouldn't cry tears. I've seen big men cry. Yes, I've seen big men cry. I know I've cried. Yeah. Lord, what are you going to do now? But he always has an answer. There's never been that he didn't have an answer. It's never been that he didn't get us through all the difficulties in all the years' time. And now we have some other things. And what's the Lord going to do? Well, actually, that's kind of exciting, isn't it? If you look at who the Lord Jesus is, and if you know what your fellowship is with him, and if you know what your love is for him, then it's exciting to see what is he going to do next. See, we have the knack of worrying rather than seeing the exciting part in it. We think maybe we should worry even a little. No, worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. We're not supposed to worry. We're supposed to trust. Trusting the Lord Jesus. Trusting Jesus. That is all. Simple, isn't it? Simple. There is no life so simple as the life with the Lord Jesus. So simple. All you have to do is follow. 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 I will follow Jesus. Will you follow? Are you going with me? All the way? All the way my Savior leads me. Ah, then we have no more worry, no more fears. And you know what's so nice on the way? While others may be worrying and fearful, we can have fellowship. We can have fellowship, the Lord and I. And instead of worrying and wondering what's going to happen next, well, maybe we keep wondering a little bit, you know. But instead of that, we can have fellowship. Fellowship with Jesus. Oh, fellowship, divine. It's such a wonderful thing. And it doesn't mean that God is going to show you all kinds of things. No. Just His nearness. Just His nearness. Just the fact that He's close. Just the fact that I know He's with me. I know the Lord Jesus lives in me by the Holy Spirit. But just to know that He surrounds. That I'm protected on every side. There's no bear, no lion, no whatever is going to come close unless the Lord allows that. Just to teach me a little bit more of Himself. He's not just trying to scare you. He's not just trying to do something to you that you're worried. No, He just wants you to listen to Him. You know, this is a time of changes. Now you may get used to the changing of things. But you may get used to the fact that things change. But you are not getting used to the things that change for you. That's something to get that, to get used to that. Let me give you a few things. It's a fast changing world. And for the younger generation, it's only getting faster. This is not, I'm not saying this to worry you, but I'm saying this so that you know, may know the way that you take. So that you may learn to trust in the Lord Jesus, not in your own thoughts, life, your own ingenuity, or whatever you may have, your own smartness, but trusting in the Lord Jesus. And I would love to see, actually that's my responsibility, to see that the children and children-in-law, they have all become part of this family, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they're all a responsibility. Lord, you look down from heaven and see them all, one by one. We pray for them one by one, that each one of them may walk with the Lord Jesus, and that the Lord will so put His arms around you that you can rest in Him. That you may grow in that resting position. That you may know what it is to trust Him. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this fast-changing time. When I first came to this place where we now live, called Ayepe, means Always Jesus Preaching. Now, they have another name for it, and that's on the roadside. All right. When I came here, maybe back in 1946, 47, you know, there wasn't even a car in this place. There wasn't a car in this place. Now if you look, it's full of cars. You can hardly get through the road here because of the cars. You know, when I first came here, there wasn't a rubber-tired tractor. Everything was done with horses. They just started getting some rubber-tired wagons. And they were pulled by horses. That's a little while ago. That's only one life. I'm still only 84. And that all happened in that time. So a lot of things happened. The first tractor we had, when Om and I bought the farm, we had a W4. It was gas operated. In the wintertime, when it was 30 below, I only had to crank her once, still had to crank, you know, give it a crank like that. And it started, was the first crank. That thing went. Yeah, That was now way back in, we bought the farm in 1959. So that's a little while ago. You know, now, if you look now what they got, oh my, what a difference, what has happened since. You know, I bought the first computer, I believe, second hand. Actually, no, the first one I didn't buy. I got that from a man that we have Bible studies, and I had notes with them, and I had them all carefully typed out and multiplied and whatever you do. And this man came in, he had some of those Bible studies, and he had the notes from them, and he said, "Do you type them letter for letter?" I said, "I type them letter for letter." He said, "Well, we're going to change that." So he came in with an old computer. An old computer of his. He said, "Now," he said, "you tell your wife that she doesn't clean this thing off because it might not go after that." So I still remember him setting it there. But what a change. I could move little pieces of my subject to other parts and so on. Never done that before. My first new computer, I think it was in the fall of 1999, I bought that. And then with the warning with it that, well, when it goes to 2000, it may quit altogether. Oh, that was in that time. They were all worried about the change of the age, that all of a sudden all the computers would stand still. I'm not sure. I don't know anything about that. But, you know, sometimes the less you know, the better you're off. Anyway, so that was since that. When I bought that computer, I believe it was maybe it was a gigabyte or 2 gigabyte. I'm not sure. But, you know, when I bought that, the man said to me, "Marco, you'll never use that." I said, "Well, no, but I think that's what I want." Now, you all that have computers, telephones, and I don't know what kind of apparatus you all have, you're laughing there now. You're just simply sitting there laughing. 2 gigabytes, oh, God, what can you ever do with that? Well, I did my work with it, whatever it was. But now, whatever the scale now is, it's so high I can't even imagine it. And I can't even keep up with it. And now they keep changing things on my computer while I'm not even looking. So I'm just simply saying things change so fast that I can't keep up with it. You say, "Oh, that's no wonder, you're old." Yeah, that's right. But you're young and you can't keep up with it either. You can't keep up with it. And now, you know, I read in the scriptures, this: "I am the Lord, I change not." There's only one whom I read about. He does not change. When you get up in the morning, he's the same. When you go to bed at night, he's the same. So all through the night you may wake up, but he's the same. "And I am the same, and I change not," he says. What a comfort. That all the changes that you can't keep up with, and I can't keep up with, and no one else can keep up with, and everybody is really frustrated if they wanted to admit it. That's the whole thing. And the Lord changes not. Now that is the God that I trust in. That is the God who will lead me day by day. I don't have to worry that he's going to be different tomorrow. I don't have to be worried that he's different next week. I don't have to be worried about anything. I can give all that to him because he's the same. And I can read in the scriptures from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, and I find this one thing. He's the same everywhere, all through the Word of God. And that's the one. That's the one you can trust in. That's the only one you can trust in. Do you know anyone else? No. You don't. Because there isn't anyone. There's no one else that you can trust in that you know he's going to be the same tomorrow. When you get up tomorrow morning and you go to work, you may have some people there, and they may be all nice people, but they may have changed. Ever so slightly, and ever so lightly, but they've changed. Every day we are changing. Every day we are changing. You know, not only the other people, but we are changing. You are not the same today as you were yesterday. You're changing. Can you keep up with that? No, you can't keep up with that. You can't keep up with yourself. Now, that sounds a little foolish. But I'm old enough to know that is true. And now, we have a God who wants to come and live with us and guides us all the way. All the way my Savior leads me. Man, I don't have to worry about anything else then. If He leads me all the way, I can trust Him. Jesus, Jesus, I am trusting in the joy of what Thou art. I am finding out the greatness of Thy loving heart. Thy loving heart. If you're old or if you're young, doesn't matter. It's wonderful to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of our children, grandchildren, are young, really young. Some of the kids are getting a little older. But they need all the same thing. They need the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. All I need. You know, the older you get, the more you realize that. All the changes in life doesn't help you any. No. Only when you're going to be more like Jesus. More like Jesus would I know. Oh. More of His grace to others show. You know, it's so wonderful to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because there's no one else. And when you see that there's no one else, that is not because you're going to be discouraged and say, then you're going to sing. You know something? Many years ago, maybe I've told you this before. That's all right. You can hear it again. But many years ago, when I first got saved, there was another man got saved. Around the same time, we didn't know each other, but he got saved. And, you know, before he got saved, he bought a guitar. And after he bought the guitar, he thought he was going to have some fun with his guitar. And then he got saved. So then he started playing for the Lord. And so then when we finally both ended up in the People's Church in Truro, Nova Scotia, the pastor there said, "Now, you two sing together." "Oh, no, don't ask me to sing. That's a disaster." But anyway, we sang together. And it's a good thing. We had a good song. "Where could I go but to the Lord?" So the song perfectly fitted those two that were singing. At least as far as I'm concerned. Because the other man, Raymond, he did a good job. And he was playing the guitar right along. And we've had a lot of good times since. I would like you to take you just for a moment. And I could almost say I'm a fan of the scriptures. But I'm also a fan of Isaiah. And you know, one day, long ago, it was in 1971, and the preacher, he was preaching on Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read a verse with you, and a couple of verses there. And then in verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 6, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thong from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." That was the start for us. That's the day Oma and I, we went, and after that we got baptized. And you know, that stirred a little bit in the family, as you may understand or not understand if you're not in that family and if you haven't that experience. But it was a little bit of a stir there. But you know, We were baptized, and so we were, it's a wonderful thing that being baptized, you know, because you've died with the Lord Jesus, and what are you going to do after death? Well, you're going to bury
you're going to bury. So the Lord says, bury the guy, you know. So, yeah, the pastor, he buried me. And then I got up in a new life. New life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tremendous, isn't it? And then he says, and now, what are you going to do now, Co? Well, here we go. I says, now Co's going to Bible school. How does anyone that is farming ever get it in his head? How does anyone that doesn't like school, and how is anyone that can't study, what's he going to do in the Bible school? I still don't understand. Do you understand the ways of the Lord? No, I don't. No, I don't. I've been saved now since April 1970, and I still don't understand the Lord. But I love him. I trust him. I know that he knows better than I do. I really don't know anything. And he knows everything. And you know, when I listen to him, then there's no problem. If I don't listen to him, oh, then I'm in deep waters. Then I'm in deep waters. But when I listen to him, it's fine. Fine, no problem. You know, learn to listen. It's one of the first things is learn to listen. Now, there's one advantage I had. I hope you had that too. My daddy, my father, he taught me to listen. When he said, Co, come here. There was no two ways about what he meant. When he said, come here, I came. Whatever else he said, what he said, I better made sure I did. I learned to listen. You know, and I'm so thankful for that today. So thankful, because I learned to listen, and since I learned to listen to my earthly father, I may learn to listen to my heavenly father. Reject the one and you'll have a possibility of rejecting the other. Okay? Do you want to go? You want to trust him? You want to live with the Lord Jesus? Now I knew that when my father said something, he meant it. But he also meant it for my good. Now maybe you're not always convinced of that at the time. I understand that. But afterwards you will see. Afterwards you will see that it is for your good. Now, we'll go a little further. I like what Isaiah has to say here. And I'm going a little further in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Will you just read along with me? There's one problem you may have. It wouldn't be strange if you had it, especially not if you're a DeJager. And the mixture of DeJager and Burgess probably don't help any either. But in any case, there's something that we all have to face, and that's our pride. Our pride. You know, that humility doesn't come by itself. No, you can count on that. It's not coming by itself. I read something about that. It says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. Before honor. You know, we like to have it the other way around. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Not leaning on your own understanding. And that's just exactly what you do, is to lean on your own understanding. Going back now to Isaiah 40. I think here, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And wherever I can pick up on the fellowship with the Lord, throughout the scriptures, I find the fellowship with the Lord is so sweet. And we talked about it, it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. And it gives in Isaiah, he gives us something here in Isaiah 40. Look at it. Verse 6. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely
the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. There you got something that you can nail on. That's something you can go by. That is something you can trust in. The word of our God shall stand forever. Go to the scriptures. Go to the word of God. Go and have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and so be filled with the word of God, and you'll find that is. Oh, a little bit later on, he says in the same chapter in verse 80, "To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare to Him?" And just at one time, just simply answer that this way. There is no comparison. There is no likeness. There is none like Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none like Him. Get that settled in your heart and in your mind that in all things He's first. Now, there's some tremendous things here that you find, because how He goes right here in this chapter, verse 10, "Behold your God, behold the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd." See, at the same time when you see this all-powerful God, He's like a shepherd that takes the lamb and carries it. He leads the sheep so gently. Oh, wonder of His grace, wonder of His grace. You see, that's the wonder of our God. Someone so almighty, so all-knowing, so everywhere present. There is nothing that, you know, people come up with all kinds of things. There is nothing that He doesn't know. You know, He knows your very thought life, Psalm 139. So wonderful. And this person is so kind. So kind. He is so sweet. So loving. And so personal. You would think with all the people all over, and He doesn't have time for me. Yes, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him and His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know. Just saith the Lord. Oh, Jesus, I am trusting. In the joy of what Thou art, I'm finding out the greatness of Thy loving heart. Oh, God. So good. So loving. So kind. I love to see all my children. All my grandchildren. All our great-grandchildren, all the ones that come in the family one way or another, oh, that they simply will trust the Lord Jesus. Not just say, "I trust Him, yes, I'm saved." No, really surrender that life to Him and say, "Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee only." See, that's the Lord Jesus. You know, you may do everything perfectly well in as far as your religious, I'm going to call it that way for a minute, your religious life is concerned. You may even read your Bible. You may go to church. You may do this, that, and other thing. But it's all about that personal relationship. The warmth. The life. The loving. The reality. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? He's lovely. He's the altogether lovely one. You know, you come to that, and he says that a little bit later on in verse 25. "To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?" And he gives this answer. "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth." And then he talks to Jacob and to Israel and so on. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. And here is that lovely verse. That lovely verse. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Ah, there's that verse. That's the personal happening one day between the Lord Jesus and myself. Just so sure. And now, just to live with the Lord Jesus. Just to surrender to him and find all your strength in him. All your life in him. All what is worth living in him. Wonderful. It's just wonderful to know the Lord Jesus. The Lord, my shepherd. Oh, I think the most wonderful part is it that he loves me. He loves me. He loves you. And he's proven. I haven't proven a thing. I love the Lord Jesus, but I haven't proven a thing. But the Lord Jesus has proven it all. He's proven that he loves you. He has laid down his life for you. He went to the cross for you. Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Are you waiting? He's waiting. Yeah. He wants you to come. Just give your life. Surrender. Surrender? That means arms up in the air. That's one time I put the arms up in the air. That's surrender. You know? I'm not doing anything back. No. I'm surrendering my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm all his. All his. See, I have nothing that I want to hold on to. So, you know, in this fast changing world, what do you have? What do you have? Tell me. I'd like to hear from you. What do you have? There's not one bit of security. And if you didn't know that before, you must have found that out in the last little while. There's not one bit of security anywhere. But anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with him. No one else? No. No. So, are you going to trust him? Jesus, I'm trusting, trusting. Loving, loving. In the joy of what thou art. You know, that's when we read there in 1 John, and you see there the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had fellowship, personal relationship, seeing what it is, you know, how he loves you, how he has a way for you, how he has a life for you, how he wants you to belong to him. No resistance. No resistance. No. Here I am, Lord. Take my life. Isn't it great, the fellowship with Jesus? Yeah. It's restful. In the midst of all the turmoil, it's restful. In the midst of all suffering, a lot of suffering, world full of suffering. Maybe you haven't seen too much, I don't know. But there's a world full of suffering. But in the midst of that, he does not change. He's the unchangeable God. And he says, I am the Lord. I change not. Can you trust in him? He's a lovely Savior. Yeah. You know what he says? Here he gives power to the faint. And it's good that we can trust him and that we can expect all our strength from him. I have no strength, but he's got it all. And the strange part of it is, he shares it with me. He gives what I need, but way more than what I need. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. How great thou art, O Lord my God. I'm so glad I can just simply come into your lives this way. Personal relationship is a little difficult when you're far all over the world. But just as an opa and oma to come and to visit a little with you, and I hope that you can take this in, and also maybe other opas and omas that have a little difficult time. But each one, whoever is listening, can know one thing. Can know one thing. That's what it's all about. That one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to save sinners. To save them. What's salvation mean? Well, to be saved of myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be free in thee. That's the salvation. That's the salvation. The Lord Jesus has come to save sinners. To give them that great salvation. So loving, so kind, so full of him. That it fills your life to the brim. I don't need any worldly things around me. I need him. I love people, but I love them when the more if I can tell them about the Lord Jesus. I can talk about with them about the Lord Jesus. Ah, that lifts up their lives. Does it lift up your life? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. I'm convinced of one thing, and that's that we read the Bible too fast, too quickly. It is full of security of those that trust in the Lord Jesus. Full of steadfastness of the Lord and of his life with me. Constantly taking me by the hand. Come on, go. Come on, go. Come on, go. And I need that constantly. Not once in a while. No, I need that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 66 days a year. I can't go anywhere without him. He is my all. Dear ones, may the Lord richly bless you in your life with him. And if your life doesn't really belong to him, you know that in your heart, don't you? If it really doesn't belong to him, get on your knees there now and surrender it totally, wholly to him. Dear Father in heaven, we thank thee so much for thy loving care for sinners. That I would send an only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for sinners. To pay the price in full at the cross of Calvary. We look at that hill there of Golgotha. Oh God, what a wonder of grace has flown from there throughout the world. So that people may come to know the Lord Jesus. So that they may come to know a Heavenly Father. So that they may come to be directed by the Spirit of the living God. And not by their own mind and thoughts. But that we may trust. Oh God, that we may trust him more and more. Father, we commend each one unto thy grace, each one of the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, loved ones, wherever they are, and oh, every listener. That's a brother and a sister, and those that are not, Lord, that they soon may be trusting in the Lord Jesus, kneeling there and not holding back anything. Father, that none of us may hold anything back, but that the Lord Jesus may be honored. And we thank thee so much for his cross, his love, his faithfulness, his life, his death, his resurrection. And now, O Lord, we're looking for his coming again. We're looking. Dear Lord, we thank thee so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.